my name is Charlie Dix. Though all you've got to remember is the Charlie part, because that's what everybody calls me, Charlie. Charlie, the editor and publisher of the Centervale Chronicle. And all you've got to remember about that editor-publisher title is that what it really means is reporter, because that's what I really am. Charlie, editor, publisher, and reporter on the newspaper that my dad left me. I'm a busy man, and I'm dedicated to the proposition that folks ought to let me alone to do my work. That's one reason why I was short with Walter Naismith when he dropped into the office and sat down and stared at me across my typewriter.
I won't take up much of your time, Charlie.
You won't take up any. There's a story in it.
As a matter of fact, there probably is.
Well, I'll give you time to tell me who, what, where, when, and why.
We're forming a committee on human rights.
Who?
Everett Baxter and I.
Everett J. Baxter, principal of the local high school. Walter L. Naismith of the local bar association, okay? Now what? What are you forming?
A committee on human rights.
Committee on... Okay, I've got it. Now why?
To implement the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights.
When?
We'll hold an organization meeting a week from tonight, after the UN celebration's over.
Mm-hmm. Where?
In Everett's office, 8 p.m.
Okay, is that all?
You know what it is, don't you?
Declaration of Human Rights, in a kind of a way?
Well, it's a declaration with a preamble and 30 specific articles binding the member states of the UN to try to achieve respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms and the observance of those rights and freedoms.
So you're going to get a committee on all that here in Centervale?
Mm-hmm.
Walter, who's pressing you?
Me, personally?
Yes.
Nobody.
Want to make a statement about how human rights are being trampled upon in our fair city?
No.
Then why such an organization in Centervale?
I'm sorry you're taking this attitude, Charlie. We were hoping you'd be on the committee.
Why me?
You, like every other good citizen in our town, hold the key.
Walter, I know Centervale better than you ever will. I know this is a pretty good town. Human rights here are respected. Incidentally, we're part of a state that has a Bill of Rights, and that state is one of 48 states bound to respect the federal Bill of Rights. Why don't you form a committee in China or in Poland or someplace?
Because I'm neither Chinese nor Polish. Now, if you'll just listen...
No, I gotta go. I'm due at Miss Myers to find out what's itching the lady teachers.
The only way I can get you to listen is to offer you something for the paper. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. I'll make you a proposition. Come on out to my house Friday night. We'll talk. I'll try to show you why we ought to have a committee like this here in Centervale.
Now, look, Walter, that's no proposition. I've got to get out of here.
You didn't
right
let
now,
me finish. We have our talk. Then, either you write an editorial making fun of us, or you write one supporting us.
You take your chances?
If you'll listen, yes.
You're on. You poor guy, you're on. I laughed all the way up Main, down Forest, into the yard of Miss Myers' house. If Walter thought he could teach me anything about what went on in my town, he was due to get pulled up short. Centervale, to quote one of my own editorials, is America in little. All the splendor of the American way walks like a comforting presence along the streets of our town. Maybe that sounds high-flown, but I meant it when I wrote it, and I still mean it. Right now, I was getting a story from Miss Meyer, a gentle lady who taught me math in high school and was now teaching my son the same thing. A gentle lady, but when she had me seated in her living room, she was as mad as if one of her students had been whispering to his girlfriend during the salute to the flag.
Well, I suppose you're going to try to make us look ridiculous, Charles.
I'm going to try to write up the facts, Miss Meyer.
The facts are right in the town report. Henry Slade gets $500 a year more than I do for teaching the same subject out of the same textbook. We both have master's degrees. If he didn't have a master's degree, he'd still get 100 more than I do.
You don't want me to put this on a personal basis, do you, Miss Meyer?
Gracious, no. It's not me particularly. It's all the women teachers. We don't want the men brought down to our pay level. We just want to be brought up to theirs.
Well, of course, you know what folks say.
Oh, I know what they say, all right. They say men have responsibilities and women don't. Well, if there's any male teacher who has as many responsibilities as Ella Dalton, with her mother an invalid, her husband dead, 3 children to support, well, just you show me any of the men who...
What do you women plan to do?
We formed the Women Teachers Association. I don't like distinctions by sex, but if the Board of Education is going to make such distinctions... well, anyway, we're meeting Tuesday night. We'll draft a proposition for the town warrant, and we'll organize to get support for that proposition at town meeting.
Okay, Miss Meyer. Good luck to you.
Now, just one minute, Charles Dix. I've got something to ask you, and I won't brook any refusal.
Oh, now, you can take advantage of me just because you know I've been scared of you ever since I took geometry.
You bet I'm going to take advantage of you. I'm chairman of something else, you know.
Yes, the UN celebration.
That's right. And we've got a guest coming.
That Indian delegate. I've got it all set up and typed to break tomorrow.
Fine, but what I want you to do, Charles Dix, is to take that delegate into your house.
You what?
But he's got to have some place to sleep.
Well, why pick on me?
Are you balking on account of the color of his skin?
Well, now, you know me better than that.
Hmm. I thought I knew Louise Mason better than that, but she won't take him in.
Well...
Thank you, Charles.
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't say yes.
I know. I said it for you. Thank you, Charles.
Miss Meyer was the only person in town who could bulldoze me that way, and coming from her, it was a pleasure. But this was no week to have any distractions. It wasn't just the UN celebration, which was easy to cover, but it was other things. A championship basketball game in the high school gym, a fist fight between two members of the sewer commission, and all there were a lot of things. Little trouble at town hall, for example, that I had to go see the police chief about.
Now look, Charlie, what does your paper care about this?
Plenty, chief.
Oh, I wish it had never happened.
I bet.
The boys thought they were guilty. They looked guilty. They sounded guilty.
How can a guy sound guilty if he doesn't talk any English? How did you or your police know that those two kids were saying?
Well, we didn't, but... you know what I mean.
Sure, I know what you mean. They were Puerto Rican, so to some of your police officers, they were guilty.
Oh, now, that's being a little raw. I wouldn't put it that way.
Well, how would you put it?
Well, two kids passing through town... No visible means, tough, desperate kids.
You mean poor. You mean kids without jobs.
Well, what else makes a kid tough?
Yes.
Well...
Go ahead.
Well, hang it all. There was this report from Ada Hoskins. Two men breaking into her house. And when my men got there, they were gone. But there were these two kids walking down the street. And when the cops tried to stop them, they ran. And then Ada identified them.
In a lineup? Or did you tell her that we've got those two guys? Here they are. How about identifying them?
Oh, now look, Charlie.
Ada Hoskins is always imagining men. Mostly because there aren't any men in her life, but imaginary ones. Chief, all I know is that you held these kids for 2 weeks. You didn't bring in an interpreter. And now you're stuck with the testimony of Ned Baker.
Well, now, if you're going to doubt Ada Hoskins' testimony, why not doubt Ned's? I'm not so sure those kids were playing the pinball machine at Ned's place.
It would be convenient, wouldn't it, Chief? Only thing is, Ada says now that she's not so sure any longer. And Ned is sure.
Okay, go ahead, hang my department.
Well, you know I'm not going to do that, Chief, but I am going to print the facts. Along with a reminder that we're still supposed to operate under a little protection for the guilty and the innocent alike, known as the presumption of innocence. Not to speak of the Bill of Rights.
All right, okay. I've weathered other storms. I'll get through this one.
I felt sorry for the chief, but gosh, I couldn't let the negligence involved in this case go unreported. Two kids were let go, but I don't think they left Centervale with any love in their hearts or any respect for our brand of justice. Well, anyway, to me it was all in a day's work. Like the interview I had late Wednesday night after that basketball game, I interviewed Sam Lacey at his mother's house. Sam Lacey was a government worker in Washington, or he had been. Up to a few days ago.
Don't ask me what happened, Charlie, or how. I don't know. I don't know a darn thing.
You know that you were fired.
Sure, and I know I can't get another job. Not now.
Are you trying to tell me that you're innocent?
You saying you don't believe me?
I just want to get it straight. If you say that you're innocent, I'll print that you said it. I don't make judgments myself.
My mother thinks I'm guilty. She's up in her bedroom sick. She's been there for 3 days. It's killing her because she applies the old no smoke without fire theory and comes out with the idea I'm guilty.
Are you?
Of what?
What they accused you.
They didn't accuse me of anything.
Oh, now, come on, Sam.
No accusation. They did ask me to prove my innocence. They've got a new word for innocence now, security, they call it, and they asked me to prove it. But they didn't make an accusation.
They must have given you some idea. They must have asked you something.
Yeah, they asked me if I knew certain people.
Well, did you?
Some of them. One was a man I went to college with. He lived on the same floor of the same dormitory I lived in freshman year, but... Now it seems I shouldn't have got acquainted with them.
They asked you nothing but who you knew?
Oh, there was some stuff about what magazines I subscribed to and a question about what causes I contributed to during the war years.
Uh-huh. How did they happen to go after you?
Ask them.
Somebody testify about you?
Apparently.
Who?
Ask them.
Didn't you ask them?
Frequently. And in increasingly loud tones.
And?
They've got to protect their informers.
You couldn't question this guy?
I couldn't even know who he was. I'll never know.
Oh. Got a statement for the paper?
Sure. I'm a loyal American citizen. I think I did valuable work for my department, but it wasn't secret work. I had no access to classified material. I didn't seek such access. I have not been accused of disloyalty, but I have been dismissed as a security risk. That's my statement. People can draw their own conclusions.
All right, I've got it. Thanks, Sam. I had a good deal of sympathy for Sam Lacey. I knew him as I knew everyone in this town. We'd been proud of him for years, and we, the people of his hometown, knew darn well he wasn't a disloyal citizen or a security risk or anything like that. Maybe Sam was surprised when he saw in the Chronicle a little editorial I wrote that night asking for more sensible procedures in loyalty cases. But to me, it was all in a day's work. Next day, I had one of those distractions from my work that I hate. Chronicle.
Charles? This is Miss Meyer.
Oh, hi, Miss Meyer. What'd you do? Hold your meeting early?
Meeting? Oh, you mean the Women Teachers Association. This isn't about that.
Well, just give me the who, what, where, when, and why. I've got a pencil here in my hand.
Then write down 328.
328, okay. What's it mean?
It's the exact moment this afternoon that the train with that Indian delegate on it pulls into the depot. You will have to meet him and take him home.
Darn, I'd been flummoxed. I'd forgotten all about that Indian delegate. And now with a whole issue's copy reading to do besides, here I was stuck with my promise to Miss Meyer. What happened from then on is important, though you won't think so as I tell it. To begin with, I met the train and met Mr. Amra, the delegate from India. When I had him in my jalopy, I told him the truth. Mr. Amra, I'm running you out to my house, but I have to apologize to you. My wife is away for the weekend. There's nobody there to take care of you.
There is nothing to apologize for.
Oh, yes, there is. Because I run the newspaper in this town. This is one of my busy afternoons. I'm going to have to leave you. I do have a pretty good library, though. It's no way to treat a guest.
I do not mind. Only Mr. Dix.
Yes?
Wherever I go in this country, I try to learn. I could learn much from your library, no doubt. But it is possible that you could instruct me better by allowing me to watch the operation of your great free press.
You mean you want to look over my shoulder while I work?
It is a quaint expression, that. But I promise to use another quaint expression of you Americans that while I look over your shoulder, I shall not breathe down your neck.
Mr. Amra, you still another quaint expression. You're on. Well, so right away, I liked him. When work was done, I took Mr. Amra home with me. We were, to use another quaint expression, buddies. We stayed up half the night arguing about India's role in between the U.S. and Russia. At breakfast, we picked it up where we'd left off. This was Friday. He wasn't to deliver his speech until the next day. He showed up at my office at noon, shared my sandwich, and just looked while we put the paper to bed. And then...
Oh, this has been most educational.
Yes, for me too, Mr. Amra. I'm through now. We can have more time together. Want me to arrange a party?
Oh, pray do not trouble yourself. I would be delighted to spend another such evening as last evening.
What an argument, eh?
Well, let us say a discussion.
You couldn't please me better than to say so. I tell you what, though. Let's eat out first. Huh?
Ah, where?
Oh, it's the only place in town. Sawyer's Quality Restaurant and Cocktail Lounge.
You are... what is it?
On?
Yes, on. You are on.
Good, good. Wait a minute until I disarrange my desk a little so it'll look like a newspaper office here. Oh, me. Chronicle.
Charlie, Walter Naismith.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Your work all done?
Yes, it is. But look, Walter, I can't keep that date.
You promised.
But listen,
My friend, do not concern yourself with me.
I'm tied up, Walter.
Please.
You afraid of
Walter, will you hold on just a second? Mr. Amrock?
Yes?
I do have an engagement with the man who's calling. It won't...
It is perfectly all right, Mr. Dix. I assure you.
Well, not with me it isn't. But there's a reason why I want to keep this date. Look, I won't be with this chap more than, oh, say, an hour at the outside. I can go at any time. The question is, if you're going to be so kind as to let me go, which hour would you prefer to have me pick?
The dinner hour, by all means. Then we shall have a whole evening before that fireplace of yours.
The dinner hour it is. That's how we left it. Mr. Amrock was to go to the restaurant while I went out to Walter Naismith's. I gave him Walter's phone number just in case he felt he'd like to leave the restaurant before I got through with Walter. Otherwise, I was to pick him up there. So I went on out to Walter's house.
All set?
Sure, sure, I'm all set. I'll listen to you. But you took me away from Mr. Amrock.
Mr. who?
Mr. Amrock, the Indian delegate. He's staying with me.
Oh, my gosh, I wouldn't have insisted if I'd known you were...
Well, I couldn't very well tell you when he was sitting right there beside me. It's all right, though, Walter. He's a great guy, Mr. Amrock is, or else I wouldn't have let you con me into this.
You could have brought him along.
To an intramural squabble? No, thank you.
You're still not ready to join the committee? I thought you would be after this week.
Don't be cryptic, Walter. My time is limited.
Oh, you want me to start, huh?
Unless you want to default.
I'll start by asking you how it happens you're entertaining Mr. Amrock. I thought Louise Mason was going to entertain a UN guest.
Well, you know Louise.
You mean when she found out the color of his skin?
Don't make a thing of that, Walter.
Why not? Isn't there prejudice in this town? Is there or is there not a tendency here to feel that the quota system in colleges is a good thing? Is there or is there not prejudice against the Negroes, or against Catholics, Jews, or against minorities generally?
You're building it up too much. This thing that happened, it was just Louise Mason. She always was persnickety.
Oh, I see. When it happens somewhere else, it's prejudice. But in your own hometown, it's just Louise Mason being persnickety.
You'll have to do better than this, Walter.
I think I'm doing fine. Look, I've got the Declaration of Human Rights right here. Article 1 says people ought to act toward one another in a spirit of brotherhood. Article 2 says everyone is entitled to the rights and freedoms set forth in this declaration without distinction of race, color, sex, and so forth.
We treat folks fine in Centerville.
All of us except Louise Mason.
Oh, maybe.
Okay. I quote from your paper of 2 or 3 days ago. Miss Meyer, acting chairman, explained that the purpose of the new association was to eliminate distinctions in the pay of Centervale teachers on the basis of the sex of the teachers involved. Now, Charlie, those distinctions do exist, don't they?
Yes.
All right. That makes 2 examples. Remember, you said there were no violations of this declaration in Centerville. You said violations existed only in Poland and China and such places.
You trying to say we're as bad off as Poland?
You know I'm not. Next item. Article 9
said... Hey, what happened to all the articles between 2 and 9?
We're pretty good on those, most of them. They speak of slavery and degrading punishment. They guarantee life, liberty, equality before the law. And we're fine on those. And we're pretty good on Article 9, usually 2. It says, no one shall be subjected to arbitrary arrest, detention, or exile.
Who's been exiled from Centervale lately?
No one. But I quote again from your paper. The chief declared that the arbitrary arrest of the 2 Puerto Rican boys and their detention in the town lockup without proper regard for their rights... Well, I don't have to quote the rest. You wrote that, didn't you, Charlie?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Those are your words, arbitrary arrest and detention?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are also the words of Article 9.
Now, look, that was a special case. The chief runs a good department.
Oh, sure he does. I'll bet you and I would get a fair shake from the cops in this town if we got in trouble. But then, we're not a couple of Puerto Rican boys. Now, how did Article 2 put it? Race, color, sex?
Okay, Walter. One injustice in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. let's move on, huh?
Oh, by all means.
Article 18 has something to say about the right to freedom of thought. Article 19 speaks of the right to freedom of opinion and expression. Article 20 speaks of the right of freedom of association.
We've got all those rights.
Most of us have. But I'll quote from the Chronicle again. An editorial this time, and written by guys whose initials are C.D. You, Charlie?
Oh, I write all the editorials in the Chronicle.
Now, here's what you say. The dismissal of our fellow townsman, Samuel Lacey, from his government position, reported elsewhere in these pages, brings into focus the fact that these days freedom of association, even of past association, has been all but eliminated. Certainly a change in procedures which will guarantee that fundamental right, along with the right to know the nature of the accusation and to face the accuser.
Okay, I wrote that. I believe it. But we still got one great little old town here, and don't you forget
sure it. Sure we have. That's why I live here.
And the United States of America...
is the greatest country in the world. Agreed.
Then why do we have...
why do we have to implement the Universal Declaration of Human Rights? I've just told you.
I guess you did. It's out of my own paper, too.
So?
So, I still won't join your committee.
Well, why not?
I don't know, Walter. I think... oh, well, something is wrong. You've twisted things somehow.
You regard every criticism as a violent attack.
I still won't join your committee.
Well, what about the editorial? You were going to write one way if I convinced you, another way if I didn't.
Well, I don't think that there's any...
excuse me. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Naismith?
Yes?
This is Mr. Amra.
Oh.
Could I speak, please, to Mr. Dix?
Oh, certainly. Just a moment. For you.
Oh, thank you. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Dix. This is Mr. Amra.
Oh, yes. Did you decide to leave the restaurant?
Yes, exactly.
What's wrong?
Wrong? Nothing, Mr. Dix.
I felt there was something wrong.
No, nothing.
What did you have for dinner?
Well,
now, listen here, Mr. Amra. Something is wrong. Didn't you have any money?
Yes, that's it. I had no money.
Well, look, I'll be right out there. I have plenty of money, Mr. Amra. We'll eat and then...
Please, no. I am afraid I am not hungry now, after all.
Something's strange here. Look, are you in the restaurant now?
In the telephone booth there, yes.
Put Mr. Sawyer on the phone.
I don't think...
Please put him on. I have something to say to him.
Very well. He's right here.
What's the matter, Charlie?
If it's what I think it is.
Oh, Charlie, it's Mr. Sawyer.
Look here, Sawyer. Did you put my friend out of your greasy spoon?
I didn't know he was a friend of yours, Charlie.
What difference would that make? Who are you to put a UN delegate from India out of your place?
India? He's from India? Well, why won't he wear a turban? He looked just like, you know...
In the dark, we all look like you know. What's the difference?
Oh, my customer...
Am I a good customer of yours, or am I not?
Sure, Charlie.
All right, you give my friend the most prominent table in your dining room, and you tell him to wait for me. And while he's waiting, you give him service, understand? The best service. The white Protestant type of service. The next time I catch you treating hungry human beings of any color as if they were lepers, I'll open up a restaurant across the street from you and put you out of business. You hear me?
I hear you, Charlie.
Okay. Well, that old buzzard.
Well, you'd better get along to your guest, Charlie.
Yes, I guess I'd better. In Centerville, of all places... You don't press your advantage much, do you, Walter?
I've said my say.
Why don't you laugh at me? Ask in a nice, insinuating tone if maybe I don't think old Sawyer is just persnickety, like Louise Mason.
Look, I told you, Charlie, I've said my say.
All right. All right, darn it, Walter, you win. You get your editorial. You practically wrote it for me. You can read it in the Chronicle next Tuesday.
Thanks, Charlie. And what about joining the committee?
All right, I'll join the committee. We certainly need one. Someone's got to be on it. Only don't think I'm going to do too much work.
I think you are. You see, Miss Meyer's on the committee. She's going to be in charge of lighting fires under Charlie Dix.
Bamboozled! Well, Walter, it's in a good cause. See you in the funny papers, Walter.
And now we take pleasure in presenting Mr. Irving M. Engel, president of the American Jewish Committee. Mr. Engel.
I hope you have enjoyed today's story, which is one of a series of four programs. As I listened, I was struck once again by the wonder of radio as a means of bringing emotions and ideas to life. If this series of broadcasts has started you thinking about matters you haven't paid much attention to before, or if it has given you some fresh insights into problems that have been on your mind, then we have accomplished something worthwhile. Our scripts were based on material published by the American Jewish Committee in its continuing effort to combat bigotry and advance human rights. We called this radio series The People Take the Lead because it shows how Americans in all parts of the country are working to improve their own communities and make our whole nation stronger. One program took us to a college campus where the students themselves decided to get rid of racial and religious prejudice in fraternities. On another program, we heard a progress report on what is being done to eliminate discrimination in housing. Still another dealt with the public schools. How can we help them overcome teacher shortages and overcrowded classes? How can the schools teach six R's, not only the traditional three, but also three more that our children need for survival in this complex world? Rights, responsibilities, and relations with neighbors of all kinds. Today's broadcast concerned itself with human rights. On behalf of the American Jewish Committee, I want to thank the independent radio stations throughout the country for their fine cooperation in helping us to bring before you some of the great issues of human relations that can be solved only if we, the people, take the lead.
Thank you, Mr. Engel.